south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Now, you often hear me refer to Latin America as the Third World. And believe me, every Latin American country has its little islands and pockets and sections of dire poverty that'll never be anything but Third World. In fact, you could say some Latin countries are 95 or even 98% third world. Yet there are sections in every Latin American city that if you didn't see that the signs were in Spanish, you'd think you were in the first world. And of course, even in those dingy, scruffy, blown-out third world areas, they've got sections of the infrastructure there that are completely first world too. I mean, everybody's got a cell phone, even shoeshine boys. So in most places in Latin America, you have a first world electrical grid, a certain small percentage of beautiful first-world-style roads. So as it turns out, nearly all the utilities that have been privatized are of first-world or near-first-world quality. Meanwhile, everything the government has been traditionally involved in has completely turned to horse shit, just like in the U.S. That said, and I can prove it a million different ways, you've probably figured out by now I am in no way politically correct, and I call a spade, even around Latins who need a little rain on their parade, which sometimes gets me into trouble. Oftentimes I can tell that I kind of upset certain upscale Latins and so-called educated Latins when I bandy about that phrase, third world. They don't like it. They want to be called developing countries. Yeah, right, as if that changes the fact that when you turn on the municipal water, it either doesn't come out at all or it comes out looking like baby poop. Then I always ask that Latin person if, that is, the person's still receptive and speaking to me. Developing country, you say, huh? Developing into what? And they usually stumble a bit and they'll say, well, of course, we're on our way to developing into a country like yours, like the United States. That's the goal of every Latin country. Ask anyone down here, rich or poor. And then, when they say that, I generally respond, if they're still speaking and listening to me, I say something like, I kind of get the feeling you've never heard of Adam Smith and The Wealth of Nations, have you? You know, the Bible of monetary and economic theory. Have you heard of Adam Smith? Well, even if you haven't, you do know that all the world's resources that have been easy to obtain in, like, the first, let's say, 10 feet of soil that have long since been dug and mined already, including all that easy-to-get oil, which isn't there anymore. That was the easy stuff to get, and it's been used by the people in the first world to get where they are today. That's how they've achieved the so-called first world status. They've already used up all the cream of the Earth's resources. All that's left is the watered-down skim milk. The rest of you guys in the so-called third world, or as you like to say, developing countries, have to realize there's not enough available cheap copper, tin, iron ore, bauxite, and you know what that's for, aluminum, oil, natural gas, or any other resource to possibly drag that other 90 or 95% of your country into what you call first world status. That's just never going to happen. Now, normally if I've gotten that far in a conversation without that person kind of turning me off or just glazing over, I'll point him out as a good example, along with everybody else at the get-together or party. I'll say something like, you're an educated upscale Latin person, obviously enjoying everything most first-world people enjoy. Now, you must realize, for example, that your workers that you pay $300 or $400 a month would break and destroy your competitiveness in a market in a New York minute if you had to pay first-world salaries. That, my friend, is what you call first-world economics. Which means no more full-time gardeners or live-in cleaning ladies anymore. That's what you want then, right? Now, unfortunately, I usually don't progress that far in the conversation because I've lost them already. They've excused themselves and gone over to the punch bowl. Which is why I'm so sick and tired of responding to Latins who say, well, look at Costa Rica and Panama and Chile, for example. We want to follow their lead because they're running right down the path to becoming first world. Can't deny that now, Johnny, can ya? So when they lay that at me, I say, oh yeah? How many Latin people or Latin workers do you know who you trust running your company for a year? Let's say you took an extended vacation or sabbatical. I mean, come on, you longtime listeners certainly remember maybe 3 years or so ago when I told the story of the very first Ace Hardware called Samaco that came to Costa Rica and how it floundered and failed for years simply because whatever gringo brought the franchise down, put it in the hands of Latin management, and it ended up looking like the garage in Sanford and Son. I mean, imagine walking into a big Ace Hardware store up in the States with dim and dirty lighting, fluorescent tubes flickering and burning out, shelves overloaded with products that were mispriced, unpriced, or in the wrong section of the store completely, dirty, scummy restrooms with no water or TP. Oh, they had all the Ace Hardware products, all right. You just didn't know where to find them. 25 years ago, when I first walked into that place myself, I was just so happy Ace Hardware had arrived because, you know, then you can get high-quality products from up in the States that you're familiar with. For example, American Standard bathtubs and sinks, Schlag locks and door hardware, Chicago faucets and plumbing parts, InSinkerator garbage disposal, stuff that just wasn't down in your corner Latin hardware store 25 years ago. However, if you went into that first Ace Hardware in Costa Rica looking for something in particular, you could spend an hour looking and still not find it. And if you asked anyone to help you, workers didn't know their right hand from their sphincter. They'd lead you on another wild goose chase that could last another half an hour. That was back then, and eventually, although that Ace Hardware / Samaco struggled for a long time, it did not fail. Not like the first Costco and Sears did. Another couple of interesting stories I'll tell you about sometime. So then why did the most neglected Ace Hardware on the planet make it? Because the gringos kept piling into Costa Rica and patronizing that store. None of the locals would go in there. All the stuff was imported and way too high priced for them. The locals continued to patronize dingier and danker little local hardware stores and pick through the local stuff, which was always about 30 to 50% cheaper. Of course, the local hardware stores had no real selection, just the very basic stuff to wire and plumb your house. The fact is, back then, most of the Latin building contractors in Costa Rica shopped at the local hardware stores, too. Why? Because they didn't know what half the stuff in that Samaco store was for or how to install it. I mean, you might remember it on a show I mentioned that only up till 2 or 3 years ago, they even carried any kind of door or window weather stripping in hardware stores down here. And many Latin building contractors still don't know what it's for. Now remember, I'm just telling it like it is now. I've built, 13, 14 houses and structures now myself, and I can remember many, many times teaching a local Latin contractor how to use or install very, very common first world items. For example, an electric hot water heater timer. You know, it shuts your tank water heater off at night to save energy. Well, a few years back, you just couldn't find those things in hardware stores down here, not in any of the local ones, though they did show up at Ace Hardware. And still, probably 50 to 60% of Latin building contractors don't know what they're for. And since Latins are not curious by nature, they're not going to ask you when they see one either. So the fact is, because we're first world people and we grew up around that stuff day and night up in Chicago and Cleveland, we somehow assume that when we get down here to developing countries, that just because a guy wears a suit or has a nice car or he comes prepared with his iPhone, he's somehow tuned in to all those first world things that are second nature to us. Well, looks are certainly deceiving, especially in Latin America. There is, in fact, a good chance the guy in the suit with a nice briefcase and iPhone sitting next to you in the dentist's waiting room grew up in a cold water flat with a tin roof. I'm not kidding. You know the old saying, you can dress them up, but you can't take them out? Now, as politically incorrect as a generalization like that might sound, you'll find in Latin America, in a great percentage of cases, it's true. So just know that no matter who you hire, for example, let's say you hire a cleaning lady or a maintenance guy, the worst thing you could do after you've checked your references and found out they're good people is to let them loose on their own and say, you're hired, get at it, start cleaning, or to the maintenance guy, there's a leak in the roof, go ahead and fix it, then put another couple of coats of paint on the retainer wall. Well, they'll do all those things all right, but when they're finished and you inspect the job, chances are you're gonna be pissed. Because let me tell you, your cleaning lady will use the same damp rag to clean your toilet as she does to clean the leather furniture in your living room. And she'll use the same little kitchen scrub brush to scrub and clean your pots and pans, and she uses to clean the inside of your rusted garbage can sitting out by the garage. That is, if she ever cleans your garbage can. Because you see, when left to their own devices, cleaning ladies and such, will clean your house with the same precise, meticulous care as they clean their own house. Which, remember, has a tin roof, no glass windows, possibly a dirt floor, no hot water, and maybe even no indoor plumbing. Now, don't get me wrong. Latin folks can be tremendous workers, but you gotta train them and watch them every step of the way until you're satisfied they've got it down your way. And I don't care if it's your cleaning lady, your maintenance guy, your plumber, your contractor, your middle management employee, or your lawyer. You have to constantly check and review what these people are doing, or they're gonna fall back into their old bad habits. Now, remember, this is Latin America. What we consider bad habits are not bad habits to them. That's just the way things are done. For example, I've dealt with numerous educated, so-called high-end Latins for years. Professionals, so-called professionals. But for some reason, and I know I've mentioned this before and it's worth repeating, they think they can get away with not writing anything down. And even me, before my Alzheimer's kicked in, actually I have Alzheimer's light, I constantly had and still have a little notepad of paper with me because I was bound to forget something I was doing or some kind of detail on a project. That's why gringos are forever getting pissed off at their Latin workers. When it comes to my cleaning lady, whenever she comes over, I have a dog-eared, crumpled, stained piece of paper with about 20 different things on a list that I expect to be done, or at least she has to be aware of, to review. Most Latins just really need those reminders. Okay, then let's switch the subject to maintenance guys. Now, don't ever think you could buy a couple gallons of paint, a paintbrush or two, and tell your maintenance guy to paint the retainer wall, for example, when you go on vacation. You'll be back in 2 weeks. Oh, he'll paint it all right. And when you come back, you'll see drops of paint on the sidewalk, little mists of paint on your windows, and little dabs of paint on your concrete garage floor, maybe even on the hood of your car. As if you asked a 12-year-old kid up in the States to do the same job, and it was his first assignment. And worse yet, there's a good chance that the paint job itself will be kind of washed out and crappy looking too. Because here's something that you never see up in the States. Latins always dilute their paint with water. Say what? They dilute it with water? Now, of course, how are you going to know that unless somebody tells you? And still, you might not believe it. Because on the paint can, it says, apply direct from can, or it implies that anyway. I mean, come on, have you ever seen a gallon of Sherwin-Williams, for example, that said, dilute 1:1 before using? Yeah, that would be like defeating the purpose of the whole thing, because in the States anyway, they always guarantee they're going to cover in one coat. So how's that going to happen if you dilute them? Well, it all goes back to the Latin mentality and the fact that most of these people make $300 or $400 a month. That means when they paint their own houses, they buy the absolute cheapest brand of paint. And that's not going to be Sherwin-Williams. It's going to be some local brand you'd never heard of. And guess what? It says on that can, dilute 1:1. I'm not kidding you. I've seen it on a number of products down here. So in effect, it's all about the cost. And in order to stretch a gallon of paint to two, you add water, right? Which also means you should never send out your maintenance guy or gardener to the hardware store and say, buy some paint for my house, use this color, because they'll buy the cheapest, crappiest paint. You got to tell them exactly what kind of paint brand you want. Which is why Latins don't change their oil in motorcycles and cars. No one told them it was absolutely necessary. And over the years, they've noticed that cars and motorcycles still run whether you change the oil or not. And that particular mentality is why when you visit even a wealthy person's house, a person who has maybe two cleaning ladies, when you look at the light switch plates and the sinks and the bathtub fixtures, as well as the windowsills and such, there's almost always a grimy, caked layer of fingerprints and gunk around light switch plates and sink fixtures. And note, you're gonna have to teach who's ever painting how to use masking tape. They've got it down here, all right, but locals don't use it in their houses because it's expensive for them. And believe me, Latins cannot paint a straight line, so look out if you haven't trained them how to use masking tape. And that goes for drop cloths and caulk guns, too. You never want to let a Latin guy loose with a caulk gun without giving him a precise demonstration of how you want it. Believe me, I've seen jobs down here where there's more caulk on the window than there is window. Let's see, where were we? Oh, yeah. We're at that rich guy's house who's got two cleaning ladies. So you have to ask, why, if they've got two cleaning ladies, aren't they cleaning the basic stuff like that? That's because even wealthy, so-called educated Latins are clueless about our particular standards, our first world standard. Because, you know, the status symbol down here is to have a mate or two. It's not about how well they can clean your house. And as far as bodyguards, that's a whole other disgusting subject. Because, in fact, bodyguards down here come from the lowest segment of society, too. Did I say society? Talk about Freudian slips, huh? Yes, I guess society is exactly the right word for bodyguards and their bosses. Anyway, after a day or a shift of guarding their rich Latin boss, they take a bus home to their lower middle class neighborhood, to their house with a tin roof and possibly no glass in the windows, no bathtub, no hot water. That's why when I'm in an elevator standing next to a bodyguard or two, you can see the dirty fingernails, the waxy buildup in the ears, and almost always, especially later in the day, a bit of BO mixed with chronic halitosis, since men don't floss down here. Not the middle and lower middle classes, anyway. So remember this. No matter how rich and first world-like a Latin family might appear to you, if they have bodyguards, and they almost always will, these guys are sitting on their couches, their furniture, in their cars, using their restrooms, eating at their dinner tables. And I assure you, when they use the boss's restroom or any restroom, they do not wash their hands. So just know that when you meet Latins down here, you think of all the trappings of the first world. Unless they're so wealthy they've actually lived or gone to school up in the States. Their standards are not like yours and mine. So I repeat, when you hire a Latin person, I don't care if it's a cleaning lady, maintenance guy, or middle manager for your IT firm, you must spell out, preferably in writing, everything you expect of that person on the job. But that's not enough. You have to frequently and periodically go over everything they've done and make sure it meets your standards. Now, that said, over the years, I've known a lot of gringo expats who've hired maids and gardeners, etc. And when they lived back in Cleveland or Oklahoma, it was a financial impossibility. Coming down here, hiring someone like that's a brand new thing for them. In fact, a tremendous luxury to have a full-time gardener maid or maintenance man, or even a live-in maid. And unfortunately, since it can be such a guilty pleasure to be able to have someone cleaning up after you all the time, I find that many expat gringos and gringas just don't set hard and fast guidelines for their workers because they have that sneaky feeling of shame or guilt, since they're only paying 12 or 15 bucks a day. Therefore, they should just leave them be and let them do their own thing. I've actually had that conversation recently with a gringa who has her own full-time cleaning lady now. For the very first time, of course, something she always dreamed of up in the States but could never afford. In fact, she told me that for a while she was a temporary cleaning lady up in the States some years back while she was in college. Now, get this. She reluctantly told me that after a couple of weeks on the job, her new cleaning lady wasn't quite up to snuff, but she didn't want to say anything. Turns out her new cleaning lady is a very nice, very overweight lady of 60 or so. The overweight business, by the way, a very common thing down here amongst cleaning ladies. So then imagine a woman about 4'10" and about 50 pounds overweight. Now, my gringa friend tells me she does a good job, except she's too afraid or too rotund to climb the little step ladder. What she can't reach with a duster just doesn't get done in some rooms. Turns out our nice young gringa lady grabs a mop, a rag, a bottle of Windex, and a dust cloth, and when the cleaning lady goes home, she finishes what she couldn't reach. I mean, come on, there's something wrong with that picture, right? Now, I know that no Latin family would ever let that cleaning lady get away with that, which really does go to show that a lot of us first world people are soft touches. Now, like I said, Latin families would never let their cleaning lady get away with that. However, they never give their cleaning ladies a crash course on details either. Like I said, no matter how wealthy or connected a Latin family is, they just weren't brought up in a first world atmosphere and have no idea what we really expect. Now, I can tell you that pretty much every single Latin family I know has a cleaning lady. And no matter how many times I've visited their houses, there are details unattended to that first world people would never tolerate in a cleaning lady up in the States. Now, in regards to Latin professionals, architects, doctors, lawyers, etc., the fact is, Latin doctors are generally just as conscientious as any first world doctor because many of them have studied their specialties up in the States. Not to mention they all learn English. They have to these days. They have to take that TOEFL test, by the way, That's required in all Latin medical schools now, so they have to be 100% English fluent. Why, you might ask, when most of these guys are off the gringo tourist trail and never have to speak English? Well, that's because almost all the good and current research in medicine is on the web now in English, not Spanish. Now, as for architects and lawyers and such, that's a completely different story. They do not go up to the U.S. to study their specialties. They study and graduate at Latin American schools exclusively, where the first world way of doing things is just not apparent. So that said, when people say to me, Johnny, my lawyer, my accountant, I send them a text message and they don't get back to me, or they get back to me 2 or 3 days later, if that. Or my architect said he was going to come to the job site today and he never showed up, never called either. Then the day after, he shows up to work, pleasant and happy as usual, and doesn't even mention or apologize for missing the appointment the day before. And I hear things like this. Johnny, you know, last Monday my lawyer was supposed to take me down to the driver's testing station to get my license, and I showed up at his office at 9 as scheduled. He didn't get there till 9:45, and then when he did, he told me, oh, sorry, we changed the date till next Monday. Now, Johnny, you know, if that happened up in the first world, I'd blow my top and probably fire the jerk. But, you know, since my Spanish sucks and I'm down here in Latin America, I just have to roll with it, I guess, and bite my tongue. And you know what my broken record answer to that one always is? You have to be the appointment book. You got to call these guys a day or two ahead, leave text messages and all that, call their secretaries. Because, like I said, things are casual down here. People don't write things down. That's why they call it the friggin' third world, and why it's never going to be first world. Even if suddenly there were enough cheap resources, it's just not going to happen. So you can bite your tongue or be kind and nice to these guys and gals who screw up appointments and wreck your schedule, or you can get pissed like some gringos do and blow up on the spot, which, by the way, almost never happens when there's purely Latins involved. So when you do that, they think you're nuts and unreasonable. Though they'll never say that to your face, but I know what they're thinking. I've been at enough meetings with gringos and their Latin architects and lawyers and such. I've watched as gringo nerves unravel, only to hear that ubiquitous Latin response, don't worry, no problem, we'll get it done. And you know what? They always do get it done, but never fast enough for us first world gringos. So just know, in a Latin society, when faced with that kind of mindset, there's just no way third world developing countries are ever going to become first world. Just not going to happen. Though there is this grand delusion amongst all so-called educated and wealthy Latins, the path to becoming first world is right around the corner. And of course, they also believe there's no real estate bubble in Latin America. The U.S. dollar is backed by gold. The American dream is alive and well. Miami and Disneyland are the meccas of the first world. Soap opera is high art. Sugar fortified with vitamin A is good for you. And America's Got Talent, for example, the Kardashians. So now you've heard part of the rant I give arrogant and misinformed Latins at parties who tell me their country's on the way to becoming first world. And as for Latins saying that Costa Rica, Panama, and Chile are first world, my answer? Kick the gringos and the Europeans out and see how fast tourism, the number one industry, turns into pineapple picking. Bottom line, if you're the wound-up, argumentative type and don't want to be sucked into a conversation like that, or in regards to employees, you were the perfectionist type up north and cracked the whip with your own workers or people under you, you're going to have to eventually kind of shift your gears into low. Things just aren't going to happen as fast as you're used to seeing them happen up in the first world. You're going to have to spell out every little thing for your workers at first anyway. And you're going to have to keep on top of your Latin professionals because they do have a habit of dropping the ball. But eventually, all your workers and such will get it, though at first, you'll need a lot of patience. And by the way, I find the most trouble you'll have is with people who are educated and think they're in an upper class. Talk about stuck in their ways, if not delusional. Delusional in the sense that they think they're first world just because they dress nicely, have the latest gadgets, and drive a decent car. Which so impresses gringos now, doesn't it? Oh, and about impressing gringos, get ready for this. With a lot of these pretentious gringo guys, and it almost never seems to be the women, I guess it's that macho thing rearing its ugly head again. When you are in their house or their car, suddenly the stereo is blaring gringo music. For your benefit, of course. What they think is gringo classic rock is classic gringo schmaltz. Michael Bolton, Kenny G, Chicago, Journey, Bon Jovi, the Bee Gees, Boston, Kenny Rogers, Lionel Richie, America. And the group that should be mentioned on every poison bottle to induce vomiting? Air Supply. See, almost lost it there just talking about them, which really should say it all now. No offense to you ladies out there who have used those songs as a soundtrack to your wedding. But come on, beginning your married life with an Air Supply song? Ask any groom, that's the kiss of death. But who are we to argue we're not allowed to pick the songs, right? But I digress as usual. Boy, did I digress, huh? Okay, now for a couple of announcements. Don't forget my July 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar coming up in 2 months. As Richard Martin and so many people in the know say, you gotta have that plan B. You gotta get out of the U.S. before the next implosion, and it's coming soon. And the best way to do that? Get your boots on the ground and meet some people, some professionals, some expats who are living that life. So come on down and join me and my Expat Wisdom team. Just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link for full details. And remember, you folks up there on the fence, especially you ladies that don't want to come down alone, you're afraid or hesitant, remember, you won't be roughing it. We'll be holding your hand all the way. And even though we'll be doing it way off the gringo tourist trail, you'll be well taken care of and everyone speaks English. That said, a lot of you listeners out there have been asking about the Expat Wisdom Gold membership. You can become an exclusive Expat Wisdom Gold member by going to members.expatwisdom.com. And you'll see there all the benefits of becoming a gold member, including twice a month priority 1 hour long or more webinars with me. That's a time we can talk about things we normally don't or can't talk about on the radio, as well as your own personal situations and your progress in becoming an expat. Anyway, there's way too much to go into here. Just go to members.expatwisdom.com and you'll see all the advantages to becoming an Expat Wisdom Gold member. And by the way, as of now, everyone's invited to sign up for my twice-a-month live webinars. Join in on the Q&A and hear the discussions, too. But shortly, within the next month, the webinars will only be available for the gold members. We'll keep that part real exclusive. So for now, you can go to members.expatwisdom.com and sign up for the remaining webinars until they become exclusive. Anyway, check it out. I think you'll like it.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture in old